Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Steve, would you care to pop up here because I've got a job for you? Right, we've got a little problem, ladies and gentlemen, in that this entire conference was designed around Bernard Haugen Howe's diary, and he is a few minutes delayed. So here's they suggested I should do one of my song and dance routines for you, but I'm not going to. I thought of a creative thing to do, which is, why don't you think up some questions or raise some discussion points from the sessions we had this morning, and they can then be responded to by the panel whose presentations you haven't even heard yet. So, and then we can stop as soon as Bernard arrives, but at least we get some use out of this time. So what a good man. Would you? Is this a discussion point, a statement, or a disagreement with me?
Question,
thank you. Sorry to put you on the spot, Steve, as soon as you arrive, but I'll start with you and then I'll go to John and then we'll go to Don and see if we can translate it into his world that he occupies. Steve, would you go to that?
Yeah, well, I'll have a go. I guess the challenge I've got is understanding what your interpretation of a common intelligence platform is, but I suspect we're not too far apart. I think we're quite a long way from such a thing, whether it be geographically across policing in England and Wales, and indeed beyond, whether it be across crime types or whether it be between agencies. I think we have an awful long way to go whereby you get to a position that an officer, the apocryphal late-term van driver, has got something that is user-friendly that allows them to trawl across 101 different databases and make sense of it without the expensive time of an analyst or a researcher, and even then not knowing whether they've got the full picture. So I'm saying, Fred, it's a fairly negative answer. I think we're an awful long way away.
John?
Better than it used to be. I think one of the challenges for us around, if we're going towards partnership, collaboration, is actually the sharing of that information on a common database.
And that's one of the things I'll maybe touch on, which we're finding a challenge.
Some of the things we're doing because of legislation and also some organisations' reluctance to put, some of that information onto a database that can be seen by other partners, not necessarily just the police. So I think there's a real appetite to do it from a law enforcement perspective, but also a nervousness around some of the key agencies about having that on display, particularly if it's personal information, say about tax or even sort of Department of Work and Pension information. And they're the real things that we're experiencing as well at the moment in terms of some of the things in Greater Manchester.
Don?
It's not often asked to make decisions after 12 o'clock on a Friday being from the local authority, and that's a real challenging question for us all. My difficulty with your question is that I'm not sure whether you mean a piece of technology or whether people should be prepared to share intelligence more readily. I'll take the second part, that people should... They say, well, yeah, technology, I don't think you'll ever get there because of significant investment and that would be involved, and we've often seen years and years of technical work which results in nothing. So I think the technology is a long, long way off. The willingness for people to share data, I don't really to go too much into my presentation. Let's just say that there are some strange things happening out there where people create their own rules, their own policies, and some will charge a cost, which means that the people that suffer are actually the community. If we give an example of that, the Security Industry Agency often get criticised for allowing criminals to have a contractual status. And they'll say to the police will say, well, how have they got that? And they'll produce a document and say, well, when I sent for intelligence, you sent me back, yes, we know them, but we can't tell you what for. Or, yes, it'll cost you money. So there is a reluctance for some key agencies not to share intelligence, and that's the bit we need to chew and chop at to get there for the communities.
Anybody else in the audience like to make a comment about that or any follow-up issues? Colette, as ever, to the rescue. Thank you.
Yeah, it's Colette Paul. I'm South Wales DCC, but obviously I've done some work with the National Crime Agency as it's developing. What I'd say, probably slightly better position than you've said, Steve, just around that. And I think the OCCC will help with that. and certainly bringing lots of different databases together where we can do single search, and PND will be a real access route into that as well. So that will be better. Where I think it's less effective, and it's about with some of the other agencies, and I'm talking about the wider partners, and that's the area that we really need to get in with. So I think across law enforcement agencies, it's getting better. I think the OCCC is the way forward around that. Across the wider agencies, and I'm thinking about local authority, health, accident and emergency data nationally would be really tricky, but would be a really good place to go. I think locally we've got some good relationships, but it's about how do we get that into the regional and into the national, which is a trickier thing. But I think we're on a journey. I certainly can see differences with different partners now wanting to work together. There wasn't the will even sometimes in the past. So I think we've, you know, the will's come a long, long way. But I also agree with Steve when he said about the we probably won't ever have one database or one technical solution around it, because it'd be far too expensive in an environment where money's restricted and constricting. So I think better place where than you said yourself, Steve, around that. But not. I think we've got hope for the future. But that'll be about trust, confidence, partners working together, and everyone having the will and putting communities first and putting risk to communities as our highest agenda item. And that's the way forward, really.
Anybody else make a contribution? On the, yeah, please, thank you. Over there, on the right-hand side. I should say that Bernard's about 6 minutes away. By a complicated system of communication involving holding up fingers at the back of the room, I've worked out that he's on his way.
Okay, well, I won't speak for 6 minutes, don't worry.
That would be extremely helpful if it happens.
Dave Humphreys, Security and Security Authority. Yeah, thanks, Don, for that plug. I mean, just to say where we're coming from on this issue, information sharing, we're part of law enforcement, we give and receive. In the main, we give. We don't mind that too much, also we'd rather receive as well. But I describe it like driving on a dark country lane, somebody coming the other way with a full beam on. We don't retaliate. It's better that somebody else can see rather than we're both blinded. So we're prepared to give.
Okay. Anybody from the panel like to come back on any of those issues?
I think, Colette, you mentioned the reluctance of some people to share. What I've found is that you have to know the language of an agency. So, for example, I'll use the DWP because we do a lot of work with them. If we say to them we're tackling organised crime, they will think we're talking about organised criminals who are defrauding the benefit agency in an organised way, not a criminal who's an organised, if you understand the difference, who's causing a lot of trouble in the community. So you have to know the language in. You invariably have to know the people, and you have to push the gate open. One of the things that really, really annoys, I'm just going to use a different term, some of my colleagues, is when they go to a meeting, the police suddenly produce a confidentiality statement. We all want you to sign this. I've got news for you. DWP, HMRC, Customs Excise, UK Borders don't employ criminals any more than the police do. They've got their checks and balances, and it really, really insults the professional people in there, and they immediately will clam up. They will not share if you do that to them. It has no legal standing anyway. It's just a piece of paper signed at a time. Or they'll say, so-and-so's not vetted. Well, I was vetted, and so was Anthony Blunt. You know, it's a tick in the box on the day. There has to be an element of risk. If you take the risk, you will get a result.
The Anthony Blunt model of vetting. I like that. did you want to come back?
The reason I asked the question is so much with emphasis... The reason I asked the question was so much emphasis is placed on intelligence. The whole strategy is about intelligence. Mm. I was speaking to one of the speakers this morning who told me that his agency wants to be part of NDA, wants to provide and wants to be part of the system. But he's been told by the government or whoever runs NDA that the agency has to pay £4 million first, which seems a pretty strange way of building an intelligence-led strategy nationally.
Okay, Mick, were you trying to get in?
Wait
for the mic.
Thank you. Yeah, I was just going to say, as a result of the peer reviews, there are pockets of really good activity across the country where they share information. Dare to share is a term that's used in a number of the areas that we've done reviews in. But the barriers have always been knowledge and the landscape. So where we've seen people who are trained in how to share data and the legal requirement, that makes a big difference. So sometimes the barrier is just not knowing what legal requirements there are.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.